This program is brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you hear, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.
Okay, well, we're recording this on Sunday, the 31st of January, 2021. I'm William English. This is Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com. And this is a sort of a fundraising program. And I'm talking to Dan Wilson in Bishop's Stortford. Hello, Dan.
Hello. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for helping to produce my programmes, because I'm hopeless at this stuff, so I have to sort of lean on you somewhat heavily. For we're doing it via this system that you've devised, whereby we're on the phone, but each of us is speaking into a recorder, which gives a much better quality recording.
It's quite a common technique that people use.
There we are. You see, I know nothing of these things. I have to rely on people like you that know this stuff.
Well, I think you're a natural broadcaster. You're doing yourself a disservice.
Thank you.
You've got a great little home studio set up, and you.
Yeah. I don't know how to use it. That's the only thing. Okay. All right. So this is a Resonance fundraiser. So both of us. Are supposed to exhort. Do you exhort with or exhort the public? What's the right expression?
Exhort. I always get mixed up with exhort and extort.
Exactly. Extort is what criminals do. That's for crooks. But we are exhorting, which is imploring, pleading with listeners and people to donate to Resonance in the annual fundraiser.
In the past, we've exhorted, but with things to offer.
Oh,
this time's a bit different, isn't it? Because we haven't actually got anything to offer, because legally we can't. This is the middle of a pandemic.
Oh, right.
I don't know. Is it legal or is it just a question of logistics?
I think. And in fact, I have got something to offer. I've got something to offer, but it's just that we can't auction it as such. But I'm open to offers. For this mystery object?
How can you?
Well, I should just describe it to you. Yeah, as you say, it's an annual fundraiser. And normally I would have given something to Resonance to put on their auction site. And of course, we can't organise events at the moment, which is another thing we might have done. Shall I offer something now? Shall we talk about the offer now? Have you played?
Yeah, I'm curious what you.
Yes, all right. Well, it's an artwork, and it was.
Let me guess. Is it Kenneth Anger?
No, it's not Kenneth Anger. No.
I know that Kenneth Anger is one of your favourite.
He is. I've been gathering Kenneth Anger material recently.
Well, it kind of comes to you almost. It's like you kind of magnetise the Kenneth Anger towards you. Somehow.
Yes, I have to say it's a bit worrying. It goes towards the dark side.
What, Kenneth Anger's artwork?
Well, no, not the artwork so much, but he does sort of, it goes towards the dark side, which is why I'm trying to sort of pull back from that. For instance, I recently, you get lists, don't you, from those book dealers in America. Is it called Visor?
Oh, yeah, Visor books, they're very nice. They're very good, aren't they?
Yeah, but it's always like lots of Aleister Crowley stuff and that sort of thing. Well, I get their lists and then I look up to see if there's anything new about Kenneth Anger. And they're, sure enough, he's done a foreword to a book by someone called Larka Winter. It's spelled L-A-A-K-E Winter. It sounds like some sort of pseudonym. And basically, it's about black magic. And so Anger's done the foreword. So I was sort of thinking, toying with the idea of sending off for this book. But I don't know if I want to get sort of, you know, I think if Anger's into black magic, that's one thing. I mean, but I'm not sure I want to stray into that kind of arena myself.
Well, magic seems to...
Yeah, but not black magic.
Yeah. You seem to experience a lot of synchronicities, which a black magician might interpret as...
Oh, dear. Here we go. Let's get back to my artwork. The artwork is not Kenneth Anger. You can have another guess. It's all right. I'm looking at it now. I'm looking at it. So by synchronicity or psychic, your radionic waves, see if you can pick something up. Just blurt something out, a string of words.
I'm getting the name Bernard Breslau.
No, that's interesting. That's getting close. Bernard Breslau. He was that sort of... It's sort of that's not far off the mark in an oblique.
Kenneth Williams.
Kenneth Williams is, yeah, but these are people. We're talking about an artwork here. It's a multiple. Think of an object. Think of your childhood, Dan.
Okay.
What did you have as a child? What did you have as a child?
Plasticine.
Okay. Right. No, it's not plasticine. What is it that...
Piles of PC format magazines.
Well, you're obviously the wrong person to ask. Okay. What would a normal child have? What would a normal person have had as a child?
Lego.
No, something which lots and lots of children have. Go further before the Lego period or Lego period.
Okay.
Before Lego, before you've developed into sort of structures and architecture and so on.
I'm feeling fluxusy now. Like this is a fluxus pyramid or a piece of some wooden blocks.
No, you see Lego to wooden blocks. You're a sort of think of
put everyone out their misery. Let's hear what it is.
It's a teddy bear.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
it's a teddy bear. It's a very nice teddy bear. It's an artist multiple by a. An outfit called Irwin.
Filled with what?
No, nothing. It's a teddy bear, but it's actually got... It's about... let me see, I'm just measuring it now. It's kind of... It's a foot high.
I thought it'd be something with a twist, knowing you.
Well, it has got a twist. I'm coming to that. Right. It's a sort of teddy bear, but its mouth goes sort of downwards. So it has a slightly sort of So it's not a
sad.
It's a bit of a sad bear, and which is probably I don't know if most teddy bears look happy, but they probably don't look sad. And it has an armband. So round one of its arms is a white cotton armband, with stitched onto the armband is the word Irwin, 1999, and then on the other side. Is a black cross, like a as though it was a sort of.
We're getting back to black magic.
Yeah,
again,
it is, isn't it? Yeah, instead of it being like a red cross, like you get with the hospital people, this is a black cross. So this is a multiple. Have you ever heard of Irwin?
No.
Okay.
Well, I know Steve Irwin, the Australian nature guy that was killed by a stingray.
Right. Now this is IRWIN. And Irwin is a collective of Slovenian artists, primarily painters, and Irwin himself was an original founding member of Neue Slowenische Kunst. And they were kind of associated with a group, you might have heard of them, called Liebach.
Oh, yes, yeah, of course, I should know this. They've kind of they've done well to escape the accusations of appropriating the symbolism of fascism, and they've become quite a they've succeeded in throwing any accusations of that off and become quite a humanitarian and socially minded group now, I think.
Yes, that's it. You've got it. So you do know about them. So you know about the music of course, Laibach. So in 1984, the group co-founded a larger collective known as Neue Slowenische Kunst, acting as the fine arts wing of the group. They joined the musical group Laibach and something else called the Scipion Nasischer Sisters Theatre Group, and so on. Anyway, so this is a multiple teddy bear by Irwin, dating from 1999. I have no idea what the edition size is, but it could be quite valuable. I actually don't know. I've got no record of what it's of what it might be worth,
or a good investment.
Yeah, well, it depends on how much you pay for it, of course. But it's I'm open to offers, so any listener can contact us and make a serious offer for it.
Via your website, williamenglish.com?
Well, just via Resonance or whatever, you know. You could just, email Resonance or phone Resonance and make an offer for the Irwin teddy bear, which is in perfect condition. It's absolutely brand spanking new. It's his fur is unbesmirched in any way whatsoever. It's as new. And I don't know. It might be worth £50. It might be worth £500. I'm not sure.
Hands up! This is the hold up. This is the hold up. Hands up! Hold up your hands. This is a stick up. Stick up your hands. This is a hold up. Give me the money. Ooh, I must get that right. Give me the money. Hands up. This is a stick up. Give me the money. Hands up. This is a stick up. Give me the money. Hands up. This is a stick up. Give me the money. Oh, yes, that's it. Hands up. This is a stick up. Give me the money. Hands up. This is a stick up. Give me the money. Hands up. This is a stick up. Give me the money. That's it. Hold hands. This is an up stick. With your stick, this is a hand tool.
I beg your pardon?
I mean, this is a stick up. A hold stick.
A hold stick?
I mean, a hand stick.
Oh, I see. You mean this is a hold up?
Yes, that's right. It's a hold up. Yes. Up with your hands and give me your money.
How?
What do you mean, how?
How do I give you the money? With my hands up?
Well, you put your hands up and give me the... No, you give me the money and then put your hand... Oh, I don't know. Work it out for yourself. But give me the money.
No, I don't think I will.
Come on.
Well, why should I?
I've got a gun, stupid.
Yes.
And it's loaded.
Yes.
And it's loaded.
Yes.
With real bullets. And if I fire it, you'll be dead. Oh, sprue down the floor. Dead.
Well, go on then. Shoot me.
Do you mean that?
Yes.
Well, cross your heart and hope to die.
Cross my heart and hope to die.
Oh, stop messing about. Give me the money.
No.
But you don't understand. I don't want to shoot you.
No, I know that.
You see, you're supposed to be terrified of my threat.
I see.
And I waggle the gun,
mm-hmm.
and you give me the money,
mm.
and then I run out with the bag.
Of course.
But if I take the wrong one, you call me back and give me the right one.
Yes.
All right, then, shall we do it again?
Right.
All right, close your eyes. I won't go all the way out. I'll just go a little way. Up with your hands and give me your money. Ooh, what'd you press that for? It's the alarm bell.
I know.
Ooh, the police will be round here any minute.
Well, you better be quick.
Will they take me away and put me in prison?
Well, hurry up and go away then.
What, without the money?
Yes, hurry, they'll be here in a moment.
No, I won't go.
Get on, you idiot. I don't want you to go to prison.
I know you don't.
Well, go away then.
No, I'm not going.
Go on.
No.
Go on.
Won't.
Go on.
Shan't.
Oh, all right then, take the money.
Thanks.
Okay, so that was Kenneth Williams, and this is a stick-up.
It's quite good the way he just gave him the money in the end just to make him go away.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, I mean...
Learn from that.
That could be a strategy for this fundraiser.
Mm. Well, it's been a strategy on our previous fundraisers as well. I remember we did a droning wok special.
Oh, yeah.
And there was one where you actually phoned up a wealthy Scottish art dealer just to nag and kind of request items for the Resonance auction.
I think that was Paul Robertson.
Ah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, he runs a gallery called Lust and the Apple, which is sort of about 15 miles south of Edinburgh, I think.
Okay. As I remember it because I was on that show as well.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. As it happens, he comes from Birmingham, but he has this connection with Scotland. And he was actually one of the founders of the Summer Hall in Edinburgh, which has become quite a sort of notable venue.
Do you remember if that year he actually donated anything?
He does, he's quite what's the word, amenable. I think he donated £50.
I can't remember because I think at the time I was immersing your voice and his voice into a can of baked beans.
Right.
In fact, we could play that now maybe to reminisce about those fundraising days.
Indeed. So this was from last year's fundraiser perhaps.
February 2019, presumably.
Oh, 2019, 2 years ago. So remind us, me and the listeners, what the connection is with baked beans and woks.
I can't remember. We'd have to listen to it again to remember. I always think the baked beans thing is always associated with charity somehow, because I just remember growing up and seeing people bathing themselves in baked beans for sponsored things.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I just continually remember that as a recurring trope in fundraising, just baked beans all the time.
Oh, right. That's quite strange. I didn't realise it was a sort of, I mean, not exactly a cliche, but as you say, it was a trope then. It features on the back of a Who album, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I think that was a bit before it. I think it's like an 80s or 90s thing.
Yeah, no, this was the Who album goes way back to, might even be the 60s or early 70s. I think it was called Meaty, Beaty, Big and Bouncy or something.
I remember a fight, actually, at a car boot sale between two people who wanted that record.
Oh.
Two record dealers.
Okay, all right. I didn't realise it was a collectible. I thought it was sort of quite... Anyway.
I think it's just because there's so little at car boot sales that any scraps of culture...
It's a fight over anything. Yeah. All right.
So let's listen to that.
Can you hear it?
I can hear my own voice.
You're half immersed in beans.
Right.
Yeah.
So the voice is coming through a tin of beans.
Well, I'm going to push you a bit deeper and it might go off. So keep talking and we'll see.
Couldn't they be warm beans?
Sorry.
All right. Dan is immersing the speaker into a tin of beans. What kind of beans are they?
Heinz.
All right. Okay.
Are you still on?
Yeah, I'm still here, yeah. This programme is coming to you live and for free. If you like what you hear on Resonance, please do support us. Visit fundraiser.resonance.fm for details of our online auction, live events and to make a donation. It is making a sort of bubbling, sort of, it's a little bit like molten mud or something.
It would be. It's messy stuff.
Yeah. Shall I make another call, do you think?
You could do, but it'll be through the beans.
Oh, fine. Excellent. I'm going to have a go. I'm going to make another call to a rich art dealer up in Scotland.
Oh, okay.
We'll see if we can get him to donate some money.
That's a good idea.
Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Is that Paul?
Yes.
Oh, it's William. We're on Resonance.
Are we?
Yeah, we're having a fundraising week. I'm looking for donations, and so I thought I'd contacting rich art dealers like yourself.
I'll give you one of the very periodic tables.
Is that the best you can do?
I can find something else. Let me see. I'll find you some one of the editions that I will donate you a £100 record by Thomas Ahura and Mama Bar, which has a pornographic collage front cover on each record. Each one is unique.
Right.
Checked out originally.
Really? Well, that's very, very generous of you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It's noise music, of course.
It's what?
And you should be warned, it is very explicit, the cover. The collages are all made out of Colin Climax magazines.
Right.
Which I may have seen one or two of my past history.
Right.
Okay, will that do?
That's fantastic, yes. That's Paul Robertson of Heart Fine Art. Are you up in Edinburgh at the moment?
I'm at my gallery, Boston the Apple.
Yeah.
Which is Gore Bridge outside of Edinburgh.
Well, that's great, Paul. Thank you. That would be useful. It might raise £100 or something.
Well, I mean, I don't get £100, so you don't get that much.
We're doing a sound experiment in the studio where we immerse a microphone into a tin of beans.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Predated by the Who, I believe.
Exactly. That's exactly what I said. Yes, I think it was. Right. I think that was. Was it Meaty Beaty Big and Bouncy or something?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
He's rooting in a bath of beans.
Right.
Hides beans, I do believe.
Yeah, that's what we've got here. Yes. We've got here. We have a sound artist in the studio who's immersing a microphone into the tin of beans and processing the sound through the beans at the moment as we speak. Hang on, the microphone's collapsing. Anyway,
I'm on a mobile phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, cool, right?
I'll be in touch then. I'll text you later. Okay. That was another one.
Get back in the beans.
Yeah.
Okay, and wasn't it the case on that show, Dan, that you also did something with coins and a wok?
Yes. That's like the paradigm of begging. You've got the bowl,
yeah,
and the coins are making a sound, and it harks back to, you know, I'm genuinely hard up. I'm not. Yet sometimes I do get funding for some artistic projects, but most of the time I'm scraping a living.
Yeah.
And
Are you asking for donations now?
No. I'm deferring that. If anyone wants to make a donation, donate to Resonance. Go to fundraising. I don't know the website. I don't know the website, William.
No, don't worry. It's easy to find. So then, okay. So you have a bit of a woks are your chosen instrument, aren't they? In a way.
Yeah, it's like music of the hemispheres rather than music of the spheres. You can get some interesting tones from resonating a wok because you get quite a powerful vibration from different harmonics of a wok.
Right.
And I used to busk with the woks and invited passers-by to throw in coins to change the timbre of the wok.
Okay.
So the tone of the vibration could be altered by the amount of money or paper even, hopefully, notes, inside the wok.
Right.
Because this is to stop me being accused of begging, because busking in Cambridge, where this was happening, is legal, but begging is illegal.
Right.
So it's a way of getting money, but actually framing it as a participation art piece by having passers-by interacting with the sound by throwing in coins. So there, whatever they throw in the wok, and coins and paper happen to be the best tone adjusters for vibrating woks.
Yeah.
So I'd use invisible electromagnetic force fields powered by the sun through a solar panel to create these feedback force fields within the wok, which can also be heard, by the way, a quick plug, on the Oscillatorial Binage album, which is a group with Farry Bradley, Chris Weaver and Toby Clarkson and me. And we kind of improvise on our own wok apparatuses and springs and all sorts of electromagnetically resonated
objects. Do the other members also use woks then? Does it become a wok quartet?
Not necessarily. The other members have developed their own instruments. Like Chris uses radios a lot, and Farry developed a resonating one-stringed instrument built from a tree trunk. And Toby uses cameras a lot as well, to the actual sound of the camera and modified electronics and coils. On this occasion, we all used woks a lot, and they can be heard on a few tracks, at least two tracks on the album, which is available now. agitations, post-electronic sounds. But anyway, that's enough of that plugging.
So that's post-electronic, but we could take a lesson from this in this idea of you're not actually asking for money. You weren't begging for money. You basically you're playing the wok, and money just kind of, I suppose, people see the coins in the wok and they realize that that's what's expected of them. That's okay. It's sort of what we're doing in a way, isn't it, here?
Because
we're not actually saying to people, give us your money, but we are sort of, we're here talking about it and hoping that perhaps people will empathize or something and might just throw money into the resonance wok.
It's like you're holding a conceptual wok aloft right now.
Exactly.
And asking listeners to please throw in your money.
Yes.
We've had the Lieback Bear. Yeah. That's kind of a wok in itself, in a way. That's
It is. In fact, people would. I think if people saw the bear, they would actually feel like your wok. They would probably feel like donating something. Because it is
maybe
quite
charming.
Maybe there
should be a picture available.
Yeah, I don't know. Somewhere. Yes, perhaps I could send a picture somewhere or other. Anyway, so did you ever have a teddy bear?
I had a few bears. I had a Japanese Pokemon things, very early one, which have very inscrutable expressions. You neither smiling nor sad.
This sounds like something made out of plastic to me.
No, it was a felt Pikachu type thing.
Okay,
but it was almost pre Pikachu. I'm trying to remember. It's like a penguin, I think. I can't remember where it came from even. But yeah, and there was a big bear as well that was as big as me.
Really? Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. Gosh.
And I'd put my jumpers on it as well.
Okay.
Keep it warm.
Well, I seem to. Am I right? Was there some reference last in the 2019 programme to the Belgian embassy in
Yes. Yeah, there was. I remember this.
Yes.
And it was to an eccentric artist you were talking to.
Yeah. Jerry Smith.
Whilst I was resonating a wok.
Yeah.
So whilst the wok was resonating with money in it, which I can't remember if you were throwing in the money or if I was throwing in the money, but there was a wok with some coins in just to demonstrate the sound it makes. Yeah. And at the same time, you were on the phone to the artist.
Jerry Smith. And he calls his house. He has a house. What the hell is that area called now? I can't even think where it's called. What it's called. It's not Crouch.
The Belgian Embassy.
Yeah, I know. No, but it's near. Oh, God, you're going to have to edit this bit out. I can't think.
Stoke Newington.
That's it. Thank you. He's like. He's up somewhere in Stoke Newington, and he lives in a house there, and he sort of he is obsessed with all things Belgian. Basically, you cannot, any conversation you have with him, within 30 seconds, it comes back to Belgium. And he's nuts about the artist Marcel Broodtaerts and, René Magritte and anything to do with Belgium. And he's all the while going to a gallery in Antwerp and so on, and he's had exhibitions there. And so his house jokingly became known as an outpost of the Belgian embassy. sort of, I think it's just short of having, like, a Belgian flag sort of flying outside.
Okay, we should listen to. Should we listen back to that?
We could
that,
indeed.
That exchange.
Yes, absolutely. Now you've jogged my memory. He was going to bring a painting to the Resonance Studio to donate for the auction, and in fact, it never turned up. He either got lost or it probably ended up in Brussels or something. so. Yeah, so that was the Jerry Smith connection. We've mentioned.
Well, let's listen.
All right, let's. Yeah, we could listen to that.
Transistor radio,
dial
a pop electric guitar.
Hello?
Wails in lyrical agony.
Yes, Jerry. It's live on air now, Jerry. I'm calling you live on air. At the Belgian embassy.
Oh, the Belgian embassy. Yeah, it's getting a bit busy. We've run out of toilet rolls.
Right, but we're having it's a special fundraiser.
Oh, Okay.
And so what I'm doing is I'm chasing up all those people that promised us artworks and money, such as yourself.
Yeah, well, I've got it. It's ready to go. It's just that I had a hospital visit about my foot, so it's getting it to you.
Oh, I see. So it might still be in the offing then.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's very appropriate. It's a windy day, and it's a painting of a scarf.
Right. It sounds a bit sort of Tintin-like.
Well, I mean, I think you could say that. But, you know, I would defend the fact that Tintin's scarf was much more beautiful than the one I've painted.
Right.
Well, actually, it's not called Tintin. It's called Tantan.
All right.
I think we better clear that up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so how's things at the Belgian embassy then?
Well, they're very busy.
Okay.
And you know, the poor caretaker is having a nightmare.
Right.
You know, he didn't cater for all these people.
Right.
I like the old days, you know, the British Museum when they started. If you look at the minutes, they didn't want to let the public in. They just said it's going to be a bloody nuisance.
Right.
You know. And there was votes and votes and votes to keep them out, possibly.
Yeah.
But I suppose you know what happens, you know, with culture.
Yes.
It has become popular.
So when do you think we might be able to receive this magnificent painting of yours, Jerry?
Well, is it possible if I brought it down tomorrow?
Indeed, yes. What, would you bring it to the resident studio?
I think that would be a good idea.
Could you do that?
I am going to... Well, my foot, it seems to be recovering.
Right.
Because I had a Belgian doctor look at it.
Right.
And he said, well, you know, what's happened was I went to the hospital and I told them the wrong foot.
Yes.
So there was a big misunderstanding there.
Yeah. Right.
He didn't even take the sock off of the foot that was injured. I don't know how we got into that terrible mix-up.
Okay. So what's the value of this painting?
Well, the value of the painting... Well, do you remember Hitler at the end of the war?
It was a bit before my time, I think.
It didn't exist, you see.
You what? Say it again.
The price of a painting has only ever has meaning at the point of exchange. Otherwise, it's just numbers.
Yes.
I mean, do you know, like the numbers on a light year? Like, I mean, it's unbelievable numbers, isn't it?
I've got my colleague Daniel Wilson here. He's a sound man. He's Dan, speak to Jerry. This is Jerry Smith, meet Dan Wilson.
Hello, Jerry.
Oh, okay, hello.
I'd like to see this painting of yours. It sounds interesting.
Well, it is a simple scarf. But, you know, I mean, in a way, the idea is, if you look at it, you might, even though you can't afford heating, you might feel warmer.
Oh. Okay. This is a recurring theme that William's friends specialise in heated...
Oh, yes.
...heated concepts. Maurice...
Yeah, I think they...
Oh, I think we got cut off. We got cut off there. I'll have to call him back later. Well, that was Jerry Smith, who's going to donate a painting to the fundraiser. And I think he values them at about £1,000. Oh.
Oh, I thought that was the walk.
Hello? Hello?
William?
Yeah?
Oh, William, it's Jerry. My phone, I'm afraid the embassy won't pay the bill.
Okay.
So they keep cutting me off.
We got cut off. We're at the moment, we've got a resonating wok with the money being put into it.
A resonating wok?
Yes. It's part of this experimental fundraising programme that we're conducting here. Can you hear the resonating wok?
The resonating wok? You mean you're cooking?
Well, in a way, yes.
A resonating wok?
Yeah, it's Dan's instrument that he used to beg on the streets of Cambridge.
It's a busking instrument.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not being funny, but, I mean, it might work in Cambridge.
Well, no, it didn't work in Cambridge. He was moved on by the police.
He's got mental health issues. Let's find a bullet. Yeah.
Well, you can talk, mate.
It's like, you can talk, mate. That's not a good bedside manner, Mr. William English. You know what? I go to the doctor and he says, you can talk, mate.
Yeah,
you... I mean, that's not very pleasant.
Bring your painting in tomorrow. We need the painting.
When I'll definitely bring it in tomorrow.
All right.
Because I've been sitting here, I mean, I was brought up a Catholic, and can you imagine the guilt that descends down on my head? The fact that the painting is still here and not at residence.
Right. Well, that's good.
4.4.
Give me a rough value of it, please.
Why don't we say, in an effort to get rid of it, which is almost painting, £300, we say?
Oh, that sounds very reasonable, yeah. I thought you were going to go halves on it in some way and ask for thousands.
No. Residents are, I mean, I'll be honest, you know, residents have been good to me.
Right.
And I'd like to sort of compliment residents.
Great.
Giving a better painting than I can produce, but, you know, I can only do what I can.
Fine. That's great, Jerry. Thank you. What I'll do is I'll call you after the programme and we'll sort something out about collecting it.
No, I will definitely go down there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Even if I have to, you know, like Samuel Beckett, apparently, you know, when he tried to get his sister to move hospitals in the war.
Yeah.
He went in and it was like an open carriage and it wasn't raining. He said, well, that would do. And I will get there.
Right.
So.
Right. What now? I'm not sure. Is the fader pad come back up now?
Yeah. He mentions that he said that he couldn't donate the painting because he hurt his foot.
Yeah, he was supposed to.
He was hospitalized.
He was supposed to bring the painting to the Resonance studio. But just didn't turn up, and so we never saw the painting. We never got it.
Well, it sounds quite good, the scarf picture.
Yeah, so it's out there somewhere. I suppose there's not much point in bringing it this time. So that brings us to... But you mentioned hospitals. He had an injured foot and hospitals, which brings us to Hugh de la Cruz, who was
in the same show as well.
Yes, but I can't remember in what way. Did we speak to him?
Yeah, you just phoned him at the end and it didn't really go anywhere. He's his specialism, to listeners that don't know, is, well, you perpetual motion.
Yeah.
Was.
Yeah, it was, indeed. We could, at this point, I think it's worth mentioning that Hugh, in fact, died on September the 28th of this year, not related to the virus, as far as we know.
Well, I thought that was an open. They didn't know actually whether he was or not.
Well, he was on. I'm afraid he was sort of declining anyway. He lived in Bow, we should say, and was obsessed with perpetual motion for at least 20 years. And I made a film, and you did the soundtrack, didn't you?
Yeah, It's My Own Invention.
It's My Own Invention, which features Hugh throughout. But I'm afraid Hugh died on September the 28th, and he in fact died what's known as intestate. He'd been living with a woman for about 15 years in this house in Bow, but he didn't leave a will.
That creates chaos, really, doesn't it?
It does to some extent. We were able to pay for his funeral out of some of the funds. I think he had about sort of just short of £10,000 in the bank.
Oh wow! He always gave the impression of being very impoverished, and
yeah. I mean, that's not an awful lot of money. I mean, But anyway, I suppose it's
more than me, anyway.
All right, OK. But he, so he died intestate, and I intervened in a way because he had no relatives, He lived with this woman, but she didn't. She would have, had it been left to her, it probably would have just gone to a co-op funeral out in the East End, and it would have been a bit of a sad affair, I think. Just because she didn't really want to deal with it. So I dealt with it, and he had what was called a sort of, more original funeral, shall we say, with a silver Daimler hearse, and it took place at and a sort of wicker coffin, and it took place at Golders Green. A couple of weeks after.
He was very interested in cars and cars and their engines and things. So the Daimlers are very symbolic.
And basically it came out of his money. He paid for it, as it happens. But the money was in an account, and I tried dealing with the bank. I contacted...
Well, hang on a minute. Is it this? Are you allowed to discuss all this on air?
It's not a problem. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. The bank... I sort of phoned the bank and I was the one that informed the bank that, in fact, Hugh had died. And at first, I sort of said, well, it would have been Hugh's desire or his wish that his money went to charity. He would have, after the funeral expenses, it would have left about £5,000, which could have gone to one of these charities for the homeless or Crisis at Christmas or... One of those things. That is what he would have wanted. And I said
he was very generous and charitable because he'd been through quite hard times himself, hasn't he? As a child, he was always.
That's right. He was sort of put into a home by his parents, who basically couldn't really cope with him. He was quite a sort of difficult child, and then he lived most of his life in various hostels. He was in a seaman's hostel near Tower Bridge and. A Methodist hostel on the Whitechapel Road, and he was virtually unemployable.
Except to you.
Yes, we did employ him for a while, but we won't go into that. The bank initially agreed to this idea. I spoke to somebody on the phone, and I said, look, Hugh would have liked to have given his money to charity. And we could mention here, just as side digression, that Resonance is a registered charity. Anyway, so Hugh, I said Hugh would have wanted to have given his money to charity. And the receptionist or the person on the phone, they have a bereavement centre, which by coincidence, happens to be in Leicester, where I come from.
Really? Yeah. All roads lead to Leicester.
Exactly. And they said, oh, yes, that'll be OK, fine. And I thought, well, that's amazing. That's good, isn't it? Otherwise, what happens to the money? Anyway, about...
It sounds too good to be true.
Exactly.
The bureaucracy never is that easy.
No. 3 weeks later, I got this following letter from Barclays Bank in Leicester. And it says, please be advised that as you have told us, there is no next of kin or any relatives... We will have to refer this case to Treasury solicitors to see if they can locate a member of his family. We will not be able to pay the funds to charity. Yours sincerely, your Barclays team.
That's terrible.
In effect, they take 3 years. They leave it for 3 years. During that time, they make every effort to... they don't make it. I think they hand it to an agency, actually, to try and see if there are any relatives.
They're not going to find much, agencies.
No, they won't find anything. There are no relatives. We know this. Both of his parents died. He had no brothers or sisters, and so on and so on. And for 3 years, they hand it over to somebody to try and find the relatives. And after that 3 years, it just goes to the Treasury. It goes to the state.
To the government?
Yeah.
So it doesn't go to the homeless charity?
No.
That's sick.
No. Yeah, that's terrible. It's awful. Yeah, dreadful. Oh. You know, God knows what.
Because he would
to
have,
them.
You know, I could be a witness.
Yeah.
He was certainly keen on donating to a charities like Shelter.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, he would definitely have rather the money went there. But anyway, I mean, that's part of the problem of not leaving a will, of course. If you don't leave a will, that is what happens, unless you've got living relatives. But he'd been living with somebody for 15 years or so. They weren't married. And sad to say that, I was in contact with her. She was called Sue. And I was trying to, I wanted the diagrams and drawings that he'd made for his perpetual motion machine.
Oh, you told me about this.
Yeah, yeah. which were in a portfolio somewhere in the house. And they were, as you saw...
Well,
the
only record of these drawings is in your film, It's My Own Invention.
Yeah, you've got some photographs, I think, of some of them.
I took a few photos on my own camera.
Yeah.
But when you told me that you were trying to seek the Hughes documents, these perpetual motion engines, I went through all my stills of my own camera, and I went through your film as well, yeah. And I was able to digitally reconstruct some of them. They were at strange angles, so I did perspective warps on the images to make them flat again,
right.
To help whoever's clearing the house identify them and see what these things were.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're still in the house somewhere.
Well... as it happens, I was in touch with Sue, his ex-partner, and she would have given them to me, but sadly, it has to be said, she died over Christmas. She had a stroke on Christmas Eve. She was then taken into that big hospital on the Whitechapel Road. I think it's called the London Hospital. And then she had a second stroke in hospital and died. So this, of course, made it therefore the house, just which was absolutely heaving with books and paraphernalia of all sorts. Hugh was a bit of a hoarder. And so the portfolio...
Who was a hoarder? Was Sue a hoarder as well?
No, she wasn't a hoarder, but she didn't do anything to alleviate the hoarding.
So Hugh was filling her house with
exactly, yes, that's right, yes. So, as you know, it was a slight. It has to be said, it was a slightly comical situation.
I visited, quite a few times. Yeah. I quite found it quite. I didn't find it that cluttered because I live in similar squalor,
similar situation. Okay, <Yeah. laughs> your house is full of woks.
There's woks. They take up so much room. Woks. You can't. Tessellate them anyway.
No, so the portfolio. I contacted the daughters. Sue had two daughters, who it has to be said disliked Hugh intensely and would have nothing to do with him whatsoever. Mm. And I was sort of briefly in touch with them by email.
Why did they dislike Hugh anyway? Because of his hoarding?
Because he'd sort of moved in with their mother, I think. I think that was partly the sort of...
Well, he was keeping her company, though. They liked each other.
Yes, I know, but they didn't. Yeah. They probably thought the mother could do better or something, or didn't like the idea of this...
Well, Hugh invented perpetual motion. How much more better do you want?
Yes, but he also hoarded sort of like 3,000 books on...
Shavers.
Shaving devices... Brogue shoes like his father wore, probably 20 pairs of brogue shoes, identical brogue shoes from churches.
I never understood the shoes. I didn't understand because you only need like at least two pairs of shoes. But I didn't understand the bottles. There were lots and lots of bottles there, everywhere, all over the floor, especially in the kitchen.
Yeah, we should say they weren't alcohol bottles. I mean,
they were all different sizes.
They were just sort of containers. Well, the kitchen was a disaster area. I mean, there were packets and bottles and everything just seemed to be moving gradually across the floor towards you so that you had to get to the sink. You had to sort of kind of maneuver through all these packets of whatever and bags and all sorts. The other thing he had was those... what do you call those? They're like meerschaum pipes, you know, those pipes that you smoke that are sort of like Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, those old-fashioned...
Yes, he had those, lots of those.
And he had emphysema as well.
He had emphysema, COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which is the thing that finished him off, really. But anyway, so that was the Hugh... I mean, Hugh... was actually the first wavelength that I ever did was a half-hour programme with Hugh, about, must be 16 years ago now. And he was a lifelong friend, well, not a lifelong friend, but a good friend of mine. And we all miss him. He was a real character, has to be said.
Yeah. He was unique.
Yeah.
And we were, I think the last book we tried to get to him, I'm not sure if he ever received it. It was a... Oh, no, he got... Sorry, I'm getting mixed up. He got Percy Verrant's The Perpetual Motion book,
yes,
which I considered the ultimate distillation of perpetual motion theories. And it was an optimistic book as well. It was published in 1916, I think. And it laid the door open to a possibility that one day someone may invent perpetual motion.
Right.
And it's a kind of précis of previous books on perpetual motion, especially Henry Dirks's famous two-volume book on perpetual motion, which is very dismissive of the idea.
Okay.
But this book was left the door open a bit more, and I think he read that. But then he got very interested in cameras, specifically cameras from the interwar period.
Yeah.
And one of his last requests was that I find the manual or any documentation for a Zeiss Iconta camera. I don't know why he obsessed with that particular camera. It was something to do with the fact that they used fish paste or fish oil to glue the lens in place. why that was attractive, I don't know.
Yeah, that would be typical of Hugh. There would be always some very, I don't know, can you call it perverse? I don't know. It's a sort of, I remember him spent an incredible amount of time turning his watch strap inside out. He sort of took it to pieces and had to reassemble it so that it was inside out, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
He was obsessive.
He told me he spent 2 hours gluing a new corner onto a dust jacket.
Yeah.
Anyway. I found him these books and I sent him a bibliography of which one would he like. And I don't think he ever got that letter, which is a real shame because
he probably did, but it's just in there because the daughter, I approached the daughters and said, look, there is a portfolio of drawings and diagrams there, which I would like to have. Sue had said I could have it. And they sort of said the contents of the house constituted a health hazard and that they had got professionals
I think that's a bit of an exaggeration. It's not a health hazard, is it?
Well, I think it was, actually. But they've got professionals in. I don't know what kind of professionals. I don't know if they mean house clearance or fumigators or whatever. But they got people in who have apparently cleared the house. So his 20 years of research into perpetual motion have probably ended up it could be anywhere, in a council skip or... possibly a charity shop somewhere. I suppose I might pursue it and try and find out where it's got to.
I've got those two reconstructed images of the paper, the two main pages, and you could issue like a wanted poster on Twitter or on any second-hand site, say, wanted, have you seen this document? Maybe I'll tweet that on the day of this broadcast so people can look at that and think, have I seen this in a car boot sale or skip?
This could be another... I'm offering a reward. I actually offered the sisters. I said to the sisters, I said, I will pay £50 if you can retrieve them, thinking that the house clearance people might find that an incentive. They might then say, for £50, I'll have a look through that pile of rubbish that we threw out, you know.
Mm.
So that £50 could go to the person that finds these diagrams.
Yeah, and maybe they could consider donating to Resonance as well,
for
£50.
Exactly.
If they felt charitable. But that's unlikely.
Thank you.
that's it. That's it. So to the listeners, next week's show, that is on the 12th of February, Dan and I will be reciting poems to do with what, Dan, again?
Poems about failed grant applications.
Right, okay. So that could be like the Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. It could be some immense kind of ongoing saga.
Odyssey.
Odyssey, yeah. That's it. Well, thanks for listening to Wavelength. And a special thanks to Dan Wilson out in Bishop Stortford.
Thanks.
And please donate something. And
please
don't
donate.
Forget to... this Irwin teddy bear is open to offers.
And go to williamenglish.com?
Well, no. No, don't do that. No. I know if... Perhaps should I put it on Instagram?
Oh yeah, that's a perfect idea. Instagram.
I'll put an image on my Instagram page.
Is your Instagram page?
Of the Irwin teddy bear.
And what is your Instagram handle?
It's William English 2000. William English 2000 on Instagram. And the teddy bear will be there, and that is open to offers, and I'll put a little caption describing it underneath. Yeah,
excellent.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm stopping.
And listeners, hang on.
Wait.
Listeners may wish to consider visiting fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
For direct donations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hands up! This is the hold up. This is the hold up. Hands up. Hands up! This is the hold up. This is the hold up, hands up. Hands up, this is the hold up. This is the hold up, hands up. Hands up, this is the hold up. This is the hold up, hands up. This is the stick up, put your hands up. This is the hold up, hands up. This is the stick up, stick up your hands. This is the hold up, give me the money. Hands up. Hands up, this is the stick up, give me the money. Hands up, this is the stick up, give me the money. Hands up, this is the stick up, give me the money. Hold up, yes. Out with your hands and give me your money. How? What do you mean, how?
Hands up, this is the big up with the money. Hands up, this is the big up, give me the money. Hands up, this is the big up, look at hands up, this is the big up with the money. Hands up, this is the big up, give me the money. Hands up, this is the big up, look at hands up.
Oh, all right then, take the money.
Thanks.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you heard, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.